some of the thoughts that we will bring up here have been a continuing theme that we have presented to you all much earlier than the election, but we'll provide a little bit of an elaboration of those topics now that we have a completed election and we're focusing on this fiscal cliff at the year end. First is we predicted much longer than a week before the election that Obama would win. If you looked at the correct polls and you saw where he had leads, it would have been a shocker for Romney to win. We believe that. We believe that the House would stay intact. We believe that the Senate would also stay intact, and we believe we would reach a stalemate. So we continue to feel that that is the situation, and the question is what can we project and guess will happen going forward? For sure we know the following, that President Obama's decisive reelection and this apparent stability is giving him strength. He knows that he still has to fight with the Senate, and the Republicans still controlling the Senate, but we know for sure that they're all concerned about their public persona in their home states when they negotiate this last piece. What happens in the following several days when we reach January 1, if there is no negotiation and no settlement that has arrived? So, first of all, the estate and gift tax exclusion, how much you can give away while you're alive, and the estate tax, how much you can pass when you die. And by the way, if you give away a portion while you're alive, then that will reduce the death exemption that you have. So if you have a $1 million exemption and you give away 500 during your lifetime, you'll have 500,000 remaining. That reverts back to $1 million January 1. There'll be a 15% maximum tax rate on long-term capital gains, which is where it is now, and that will revert to 20%. The maximum tax rate on ordinary income will move from 35% to 39.6%, and qualified dividends will be taxed at ordinary rates rather than at 15%. These are all pieces that are up for negotiation right now. Where do we stand? So the first piece is that we have nearly $16 trillion in deficit. Some of it is committed, some of it is spent, other pieces have not been committed and are set to be spent, and so those will be pieces that will be negotiated. Entitlement programs, our defense budget, et cetera, are all in these pieces. We can also tell you that while this may not be the most precedented, highest present value deficit that this country has experienced, particularly because it's hard to determine what pieces of the budget have been funded versus not, we know that we're looking at least back to the Great Depression from a spending standpoint as to how much debt was incurred during that period of time. Number one, and you'll receive all of these in an email afterwards so that you can just enjoy to the extent that that's possible, but enjoy this conversation, and then you'll receive an update with an email of what we've discussed. Number one, the fiscal cliff negotiations present risk, and the estate gift tax exemptions will be reduced to add revenue. So Congress must try to improve an embarrassingly low job approval rating of 21%. To this end, there is tremendous pressure to reach a compromise. There is a fear of the USA going over this self-inflicted fiscal cliff, and it is a drag on the stock market. How stocks are performing for the remainder of the year will likely be driven by the negotiations between John Boehner, the Republican from Ohio, and President Obama. What happens if nothing is achieved? So we know that individual rates will jump to 39%, but there's an additional 3.8% on investment income, which would allow for 43.4% total rate. Dividends jump again where they're now at a 15% rate, which has been a phenomenal run for us during the Bush tax cuts, 15%, which they are now, to ordinary income. Estate tax exemptions, as you know, will drop to 1%, but currently the estate tax rate is 35%, and that will go to 55%. The amount of the gift tax, so you can give away currently $5 million, as you can also pass that when you die during this period, also goes back down to $1 million. So from $5 million gift tax exclusion down to $1 million. And the GST applicable exclusion amount, that's the generation skipping tax, will be reduced to $1.4 million, meaning that you can leave slightly more to the generation beyond your children in what we call a generation skipping tax trust, for a slightly larger amount than you can just to your children. And we've always had that gap historically with how much you can pass to the grandchildren free of tax versus the children because you're skipping a generation. Okay, the amount of the annual exclusion, good news, goes from $13,000 this year to $14,000 next year. A married couple, that means, can give 28 per, combined 28 per child. So imagine if you have four children, that would enable you to put to give over $100,000, $112,000 to four children, husband and wife, per annum. For non-citizen spouses, and many of you on this call, of course, have we do work for you internationally, you can move between husband and wife. $139,000 this year. Next year will be $143,000. So just a slightly larger amount. And as you know, because being non-citizens, the limitations on what you can move between husband and wife is significant because of the estate tax disparity as non-citizens. Can a compromise be achieved? We're on to point number three. Congress may use the final weeks of 2012 to sketch out a broad outline of higher tax revenue and reduced entitlement spending, leaving next year's 113th Congress to fill in the blanks. The pressure will be to reach a compromise. There is a, quote, gang of four Republicans and four Democrats, that roughly, that are attempting to model this compromise. The in some respects similar to the super committee that was created over a year ago, similarly trying to work out a resolution to at that point the same Bush tax cuts. The Republican lawmakers face real risks. Their states will be angry if they increase taxes. The notion here is that if they don't take a hard line, Tea Party activists can come in and vote them out. There'll be more on this topic as we go forward, but these are also Republicans in states where there are large blocks of farmlands, and farmers have always sought to be treated differently, and because of the notion that their equipment is extremely expensive and their farms cannot be divided the way a company or real estate could be divided to pay state tax, and it would force a dissolution. And in those states, even though they represent a small amount of the population, they have a large, large voice with their Republican representatives. If they see that their representatives are not fighting on their behalf significantly, they may vote them out with someone more conservative, for example, a Tea Party activist. The Democrats and the presidents won the election by larger than margins than was expected, and the fear is and was that they would deem that victory to be a mandate, and it emboldens their stances to hold firm on their negotiations. But they are concerned because immediately on January 1, if they don't find a resolution, entitlement programs will be cut back, and that will certainly seek to punish them, their electorate, who believes that irrespective of the posturing on both sides, more on that in a moment as well, that they simply were not affected. So the Democrats and the Republicans have drawn their battle lines, and it is not clear that they will resolve this by the end of the year. The expression that you'll hear me address through this call is, and we've heard this from several of our colleagues who are in, plugged into Washington, is that they will just kick the can down the road. And by that, resolve nothing short term, and then potentially resolve sometime next year, which has always been our projection, and then retroactively impose whatever the resolution is. So the Democrats have picked up a few seats in both houses, but they still don't maintain any difference in control. The Democratic Senate budget, with the chairman, Max Baucus, said in an interview in the Great Falls Tribune that he wants to keep the Bush-era rate for estate taxes in order to protect the ranchers and farmers who pass their properties on. Again, he is a Democrat. He's in, and he is the Senate budget chair, but his agenda is favors keeping the estate tax exemption higher, which he would argue should be separated or sliced off from the rest of the overall budget. The estate tax, years ago, there was a farmland exemption, and there was a lot of political brouhaha because people at that point said that it's not just fair that farmers should enjoy that exemption. There is a political lobbyist from Pennsylvania. His name is Norquist, and he has sought to get signatures where 258 members on his website who are in Congress have signed a pledge that they will not increase taxes. So there is clearly this group that has dug in. And again, to emphasize that it will not be easy to reach a compromise. What are the speculations for compromise, the details regarding gift taxes? So we think there are five possibilities that can happen. First is a repeal of the estate tax. This is what Mitt Romney's plan was. There, we believe that if he had become president, and we said this before the election, obviously not having a crystal ball as to who would win, but just following the appropriate polls, if he had become president, we believe we would have still been in a similar position where the houses were divided and he wouldn't have gotten what he wished. He's not president now. We think the likelihood of a total repeal is very, very low. The second opportunity is to extend the current rates, to keep the current exemption rates and tax percentages. Last year's Congress fills in the details to do this reform work. We think that you know, they'll extend it for a period of time. We think this is a high likelihood and not provide a resolution at the moment. Obama's compromise, and he's been public on this already and recently in the past several days, and this is a very, very tricky thing for you all to be respectful of, and we too, and that is that he says, look, I will reduce or reverse our exemptions to 2009, which would have allowed a death exemption of $3.5 million. So many of you have said, well, my goodness, you know, we were at $5 million, and now we're going to $3.5. That's not the end of the world, John. Between husband and wife, we've got $7 million, and they are correct, and you are correct. Except what they are failing to address is in Obama's reversal back to 2009, it means that the amount you can give away is now going to be $1 million, which is what it was before we believe he got tricked when he negotiated with the Republicans and they lifted the gift exemption from $1 million to $5 million 2 years ago. We believe that Obama is going to hold firm on the amount you can give away. So for a client that is worth $1 million, $2, $3 million in total, and they're in their 70s or 80s and not adding a lot of net worth, then there probably is little to worry about because there's little appreciation. although they will pay state estate tax, more on that in a minute, on anything over the state exemption amount. So $675 on a $3.5 million estate, you've got $2.3 million that is subject to estate tax, and it could cost you $250,000 just for the state you're living in. I just use New Jersey, New York is $1 million, Connecticut's $2 million, et cetera. But this $1 million exemption is the piece that the majority of you have to be concerned about. So if we go back to the $1 million exemption, all that you can give away is $1 million. Imagine the value going forward if this year you gave away $2 million or $3 million or $5 million. And then fast forward the growth and appreciation on $2 million over the next 20 years, even at a 4% rate of return, that's more than a double, so you'll have $4 million out of your estate versus the $1 million that you can do next year, and that on a double would put you at $2 million. So you will have gotten $2 million of additional assets off your balance sheet in the next 20 years, and we'll save, if we speculate that the combined federal and state is close to 50%, you'll save $1 million in tax just by getting that done in 2012. If it's $5 million that you're funding into the trust this year, imagine a double on that. Now you have $10 million, which next year you're only able to do $1 million, and so in 20 years it would go $2 million versus $10 million, and so you have $8 million, and you would have a $4 million gap in taxes. So the big issue is Obama and the Democrats have always been focused on not allowing people to give large blocks of assets. In fact, we were just quoted online in one of the New York metropolitan area periodicals, leading off with the IRS wants you to die with as much money in your estate as possible. So do the Democrats, because they can tax it. And so you have to look at not just giving away, but the future growth of those assets that you give away. Okay, number four is that they do nothing. Okay, if nothing happens, then we fall off this cliff and the estate tax exemption goes to the million. We've just spoken about that, and the estate tax rate going forward would be 55%. Number five is that they come up with some other compromise. In the end, I believe that it will be some hybrid of the $3.5 million death exemption, maybe some carve-out again for farmland, particularly because there are Democrats who are fighting for the farmers, and we believe the $1 million exemption, if not a gifting $1 million, it will be very close to $1 million. But we don't believe that compromise will be permanently inked this year. If anything, they'll kick the can down the road, we speculate, and then sometime next year pass a bill that will allow for some Obama-esque $3.5 million death exemption, $1 million gift exemption, and then we take it from there. The outstanding debt of the USA, again, is north of $16 trillion as of 10/31/12, which is up almost $1 trillion from a year ago. The reason that this is important is because as the debt continues to increase, it's not just settling two houses, but we have a hole that has to be plugged. So we can talk about which direction the ship is going, but we're taking on water. And that is why there is stress. Will I get reelected if I vote for the Obama plan? And so and the markets, which are the most sophisticated of us all, always reflect the sentiment of the population, and we believe that stumbling along at these levels reflect that they are concerned what Congress will do. How likely is it that the compromise will be achieved later in the year and make retroactive? We think very, very likely, and that's why there is no pressure of a December 31st date other than just kicking the can and maybe extending it for 6 months, and then they can make the final settled amount retroactive. Can they do this all the time? For those of you who have created trusts, do you feel that your trust could somehow be invalidated by a retroactive imposition of the tax? our view is that the trust that you create is protected by the Constitution, which allows you to enter into contracts and not be deprived of the government retroactively knocking that out. We had this issue even when Obama said he was going to take back the bonuses of the Wall Street bankers like J.P. Morgan, and their argument was this was a contractual agreement and that they would be taking away a constitutional right, a, quote, a taking, without due process. We believe the same for anybody who enters into a trust. Whether or not they retroactively impose a limit, so in mid-January, if you funded a trust with $5 million and they retroactively imposed a $1 million exemption in June of next year, we think there's risk. We think that in that instance, they can invalidate the trust, but they could invalidate the amount that you funded into the trust. And I'm sure that they'll think about that before they finally have that decision. Let's keep moving on, all right? There is an emotional power and an argument to abolish the tax, okay? The front runner, of course, are the farmers. They want it eliminated altogether. There are several powerful Democrats who represent significant constituencies who also favor an elimination of the estate tax. Senator Matt Baucus of Montana, Senate Finance Committee Chair, has, and we said it before, wishes to see higher levels of the exemption amount, and if he gets his way, he may carve out the estate tax piece separately from all the other tax pieces. There is no one out there, however, that is championing the gift exemption, how much you can give away during your lifetime. That's why we think the unique, exclusive opportunity to give away this year is so important. We could be wrong. They may extend the gift exemption as well. That who knows what happens in the back boiler room in the politics. But the farmers are arguing that they don't want to pay the tax when they die. They're not trying to move out slivers of the farm while they're alive, although, quite frankly, if we were representing them, we would. We would create partnerships, and we would gift out and sell part of the farmland to the children now. We're doing that across the country in other instances. The 3.8% Medicare tax on capital gains, dividends, and the highest tax bracket are key critical pieces. So effective next year, the 3.8% tax is coming, okay, to fund affordable health care known as Obamacare. This 3.8% tax will also be on investment income. And will take effect as scheduled for earnings for those individuals earning more than $200,000 and joint filers earning more than $250,000. Okay, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, you know, both bookends flanking, you know, two of the wealthiest states in the nation, bordered by, you know, West Coast and East Coast, have tried to raise this amount to $1 million. Okay, smart call on their part. Because their clients who have their constituents in the big cities have large amounts of savings, and they want to see them not subject to the Obama tax if they have revenues at $350,000, $450,000, $900,000, and not be subject to the Obama care tax. So we'll see what happens with that. The big issue, we think, though, is where Obama, and this is the key piece, we think, on this call, is what is Obama's budget plan for other estate planning strategies in 2013. So none of these are being discussed right now, but it's important to know that these pieces could be made retroactive as well. We're all talking about what the gift tax will be and what the estate tax will be and whether they get that resolved. But there's a whole lot of other lingering viruses out there that we can get sick from other than just the fear of the flu, which is the one that we're all trying to inoculate ourselves from. So first, President Obama has sought to eliminate the valuation discounts for family-controlled entities. So we've just spoken about that earlier here. If it's a farm that you own or it's a business that you have and it's worth $20 million and you're giving out a fractional piece to your children or selling that to them, and you're saying because they don't control the business purposely and it's illiquid because nobody's willing to buy a fractional non-controlling piece, you can take a discount. Lots of case law in this area, lots of decisions by the IRS on when they're going to challenge, when not. Obama now is pursuing trying to eliminate all discounts when these partnerships are created. So on a $20 million partnership, if you're giving away 50% of it and you want to take a 30% discount on $10 million, that's $3 million of reduction in value, and at a 50% tax, that's $1.5 million. So that is clearly in his crosshairs of his scope. Grats are another strategy that we have implied with you all, have applied you for, and the idea behind a grat is that you make a loan to your children and then they pay you back over a period of years. The longer the loan, the more time your children have the money to use it, but if you die before that loan is paid off on a grat, it's all clawed back in your estate. So we've always tried to do short-term grats and then do another grat right after that and get past the hypothetical death deadline, and those are called rolling grats. Well, Obama says no grats less than 10 years in his current budget, which puts us in a position where, you know, when some clients are more conservative and they're older, may not want to do a 10-year grat. They're also saying that some portion of the grat alone would be deemed to be a gift. Today we can zero it out, meaning zero tax, because the entire loan is paid back. But Obama is going after this. He's gone after this before. Number three is, for those of you who have set up trusts, we're in the middle of several right now, that we think children are alive and they're in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. There'll be more than enough assets to provide for the children who are doing well on their own to go down to the grandchildren. Well, Obama's saying enough is enough. The trust cannot go any longer than 90 years, and then he's going to impose generation-skipping tax as a penalty for being conservative with the assets inside the trust. That's a political statement there, but I don't ever want to do that. But the fact is they're saying there is a limit as to how long the trust could be without tax. All of you have created grantor trust. That's a trust where you put money, assets into the trust, and you retain certain control, and you pick up the income tax liability with your own assets. It's been a phenomenal strategy, and it will continue to be for those who have created the trust. Obama has said, if you create this trust going forward, that and you try to retain these control rights, swap assets out, borrow from the trust, pay the income tax, then they're going to claw the entire trust back into your estate, and it will not be estate tax free. He has also proposed to increase the generation skipping tax exemption to $3.5 million. Okay, but he's clear that he wants the gift exemption to be at $1 million. Okay, top tax rates. Right now it's 35%. January 1, it goes to 55%. Obama is splitting the baby at 45%. Number 9, all of these conversations address federal tax, but there is a virus just in the state estate tax. If you're in California, if you're in Florida, if you're in Wyoming, several other states in the nation, there is no state estate tax. If you're in New York, if you're in New Jersey, if you're in Connecticut, Delaware, and so forth, and we can name them because we're doing work nearly every state in the nation, we know the rates. The fact is that that tax will still be imposed. Ironically and interestingly, there have been some straw polls which say that Americans favor the current levels of state estate tax exemption. And only 21% would side to reduce, rather a small percentage would seek to reduce the these exemptions. Why? Because many people in the population, the overwhelming majority, are not in a situation where they're going to pay state estate tax. And so it is critical to understand that it is just a very small population that says, we don't believe it's appropriate to pay the state tax. It is the top percentage of people, and there, if it comes to a pure vote, the likelihood is that we will lose. And so in that instance, Nebraska, big farmland territory, plenty of undivided farmers. You think that they would want to eliminate the state estate tax. Every farmer is, but there's a ton of people that outvote them in the regular population. And so Nebraska and Oregon have turned down state estate tax elimination. We feel in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, et cetera, Connecticut, by the way, for which we do a ton of work, particularly in Fairfield County and Greenwich and Stamford, those they've reversed the estate tax rate. So it tracked the federal amounts, and now it's down to, which was $5 million, and now it's down to $2 million. Okay, also the gift limitations as well. As we wrap up on these pieces, I think it's important to realize, one, that there will, on this final piece, this piece on number nine, is continue to presume that you will have a state estate tax. If you give away $5 million into a trust and allow your spouse to maintain the right to access it, or if you're going to borrow, you can maintain the right to borrow from the trust. If you want to have maintain certain amounts of control, there are other jurisdictions that allow for that. The key thing that you need to know is even next year, if the $5 million death exemption remains there, what you've done is gotten $5 million off your balance sheet this year, number one. And number two is you have avoided the state estate tax problem, which will continue to go forward. So in New Jersey, or let's do New York on this one, if you put $5 million into trust and 10 years from now, that five, or 20 years from now, that grows to $10 million, well, then you have avoided state estate tax on that entire $10 million, which you would have been subject to almost $1 million of tax at that point. So there's a big drive here on the state level to avoid the tax by making the gift, by making the gift. Okay, so some cleanup pieces. Number one, move the assets into trust. For all of you who we've created the trust, you know we have a 10-step process of wealth and family values to protect these pieces, and we have people on our team who have are working with your financial advisors right now to make sure the assets are transferred in to the trust. That must be done. There is no question that that deadline is coming, and do not count on it in any respect it being extended. It is last call. And you all received letters on this 60 days ago, followed by calls all year. Please keep us posted. Number two is that if you need to move real estate into the trust, you must know that signing the deed, does, we believe, does not complete the transaction. You all know that, but we have to make sure that if you have a real estate lawyer involved or a title company or someone other than us, we're making sure that we're doing everything to make it happen. That deed must be recorded. Our friends in Suffolk County have indicated, you know, along Southampton and East Hampton and so forth, those deeds we're getting have historically been rejected and slow to record. If the deed is not recorded by year-end, we submit to you the IRS is going to say the transaction has not been completed because you could have torn the deed up before, like tearing up a check before you deposit it into the bank. So there is a strategy that we're working around that in the event that that happens. We're spending a lot of time in that. We just want the gosh darn deeds recorded so we don't have an issue. Okay? Other than that, it is critical, again, to just go through your checklist and make sure you haven't missed those pieces. And then next year, we have opportunities if you're not happy with the assets in the trust or you've just put any assets in just to get the place marker on the green near the hole. Just get asked next year, we can swap assets in for assets that you put in this year.